This is Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast, and I am your host, Francesca Thompson, educator and founder of Thrive 12. Today, we will be talking to Miss Allison Cutter about why she chose education. Welcome to the show, Allison. How are you today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm excited. Okay, to hear your story. Okay, even though I've heard it before, but the audience, they need to hear it. Okay.
They need to hear it.
So let's just jump right into it. How did you decide to pursue education? Because if I'm not mistaken, you worked in corporate first.
Yes. So I was a corporate trainer, then I was a project manager. You know, when there's a decline in the economy, the first thing that goes is the training department. People stop hiring. So it was a very unstable environment. And I said, well, you know what? What I'm doing is close to teaching. So let me go back and get my degree in education. And that's what I did. And I became a certified teacher in 2006. And now that's 18 years later. So,
18 years. Yes. Okay. And yep. I love that you came from industry. We have more non-traditional teachers now than what we had. And it was good. How did you know someone in education that maybe kind of inspired that journey to look in it as a second career? Or were you just like, let me see, this matches this, and I'm just going to go ahead and jump right on in it?
It was a little bit of both, but I do have an inspiration. My cousin, Monica, is like the dream teacher. She's funny. She really cares about her kids. She has high expectations. And so I said, hey, I want to be just like her when I grow up. And even though we're only like a year and a half apart, but I just think she's amazing. And so when the stars aligned, I modeled a lot of my teaching after her, my classroom management, having fun with the kids. So it's a little bit of both. I looked to see what skills I had, and then I had that role model.
Yes, because I was non-traditional as well, and it was my cousin. We would just be always on the phone, and she would be talking about her classroom, and I was in corporate as well. And I was like, well, let me see if I can do this. So it's always someone who starts that spark, right? It was our cousins. Now, that's new information for me. I didn't know that. So
it was our cousins. That's something else we have in common.
Yes. So what is it like for you as a classroom teacher? I know you said I know you've gotten Teacher of the Year, a couple of times?
Yeah, this is my second time. First time was in 2017, and this time was 2024 school year.
Yes.
Repeat the question again.
So what is it? So to earn that title, Teacher of the Year, right? You, I know I see it all the time. I love that you post about the things that you do in the classroom. You're very hands-on with your students. Tell us some, for new teachers, if they're listening to this podcast, what makes you thrive in the classroom? What is your thing that you're like, oh my gosh, this is my jam?
I think student relationships is my biggest jam because I very rarely have a serious bone in my body. We crack jokes. The kids can crack jokes on me. I think it's about creating an atmosphere of safety, fun, a challenging atmosphere, but I have great management skills. And so my kids know when it's time to settle down and when it's okay to relax a little bit and let's have some fun. I think it takes practice, and you have to go in with a plan. You can't just let it happen. And it is very true that with classroom management, you have to start off a little firm, and then you can relax once you've built that respect, once you've built that safety net around them, so that they can relax a little bit and then but still be respectful. So I think, I don't know if I've earned Teacher of the Year. Someone, my peers saw it in me, and I'm so grateful that they think that I am Teacher of the Year quality. But every day is a learning lesson. I'm constantly learning from my peers, from my cousin, from you. I'm learning of things that I want to implement into my teaching style. So you never ever stop growing.
Yeah, that's right. And I like that you talked about being firm at first with the classroom management. Do you know that's the hardest thing for new teachers to understand? They don't like doing that at first. And they sometimes I think, it's a skill set and you've got to, like you said, you've got to start off strong and then you relax a little bit because if you don't catch them and get them
In the
with
beginning.
yeah. The entire year is going to be a challenge for you.
Absolutely. I mean, you start firm, you stay firm, but you get to show a little bit of your personality after a while. And I think that if you have great management or appropriate management in the classroom, as well as building a rapport, your students are motivated to learn, more motivated.
Yes. And I know I didn't give you this question, but I just remember you and so me and Allison, we hang out a lot. And in our area, we live and work in the same area. And when we go out, there's always parents coming up to you and like, "Oh my God, you taught my child 18 years ago." And it's like, "Oh my God, how can they re even remember that?" You build such a great relationship with the parents. To me, that's key to a teacher's journey. There's not just building that relationship with the students, but also with the parents. Give us some tips. How do you do that?
Well, you know what? I go to games, I go to kids' recitals, I go to important events. Parents have invited me to their homes for dinner. I go there. I go to church with them. So I think that it's important to establish that, number one, you're human outside of school.
Yes.
And number two, that you really care about them as a person, not just a student for that year, and then that you'll forget about them. Because I'm still friends with a lot of my, they're on Facebook, or some of them I talk to regularly. I'm still friends with a lot of my students,
Yeah.
parents.
That's good. That's really good. I love that about you. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I'm with Allison. She's a whole celebrity out in these Snailville streets."
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about this book. You've been in education, you've learned a lot with students and student behavior and student management, and so some kind of way you decided, "Hey, I need to write a book." Tell us about the book, tell us the title and what inspired you to write it.
Okay, so the book is called Don't Feed the Bears. And it's under my married name, Allison Risher. So go out and find it. But I'll first tell you that it is based on a real experience. It may not be 100% nonfiction, but it's based on real events and a real student that just sought negative attention. And I said, well, you know what? We need to teach other students how to maneuver students who are seeking attention, whether good or bad, or negative or positive. And that student will learn from that behavior as well. So that's what the book is about. They go on a field trip and they have some experiences that really could be annoying to some students, more of an irritant, more of a attention-seeking behavior, and how it is dealt with and the resolution in the end. So I always suggest it for a beginning of the year reading in classes. I read it to my class at in the beginning of the year, every year. And so it's an ongoing theme in my classroom. Don't feed the bears.
There. I love it. I love it. Okay, and I'm
And I
gonna
will say, I'm sorry.
go
I
ahead.
will say that it was a work of love, impatience, trepidation. I was scared to death to publish this book. I wrote this book in 2010, and I think it took me 4 years to publish it before
Really?
I put it out there to the world. And I talked to our pastor, and he said, "Well, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't invest in yourself, then no one else will." And I said, "You know what? You're exactly right. Go do it."
I'll do it. And
So
you did it. I am
I did.
going to put that, I'm going to put the book in the show notes so people can view that and purchase that as well. And don't feed
Awesome.
the bear, guys. Okay. So, I guess we're getting to the end of this. So I would like to know, what inspired me to create this podcast, Everything But the Lesson Plan, is just different challenges that we have as educators and how to create that balance, in the classroom and also when you leave and go home, right? And I
Right.
always, I'm just an advocate for new teachers. That is my heart, new teachers, and just
Absolutely.
supporting them as much as you can. Because I remember when I was a new teacher and I was hired and I was given a classroom and a book and a computer, and they said,
And go for it.
yep, they said the children are coming, and they left me, and I cried. I literally cried like a baby, okay?
Understand.
And so
I understand.
I wanted
There's
to.
no preparation for that first day.
Oh, and I was like, what do they mean the children are coming? What do I need to do? It's not
Right.
like corporate. They're not going to have somebody with you the entire time. You got to
Nope.
figure it out. Okay.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So if you were thinking about new teachers at this point and wanted to give them some advice, what are some things that you would share with them?
Seek a mentor. Someone that they really, really feel comfortable with, that they don't mind sharing their deepest thoughts, someone that they trust. You have to have someone that you can run ideas by and not feel judged, or with penalty. So that would be the first thing. Seek a mentor. You can't do this job by yourself.
Nope, you really can't.
The second thing I would do, excuse me. Second thing I would tell you is don't spend your money.
Yeah. I did
You,
that
I
this year.
understand that you want your classroom to be nice. If you want to spend your money for you to make it an environment that you enjoy because you're going to be there for 8 hours a day, then go for it. But there are so many resources out there where you don't have to spend money. Be
Yeah.
creative. Be creative. Create your own posters. Create your own anchor charts.
Yeah.
Be creative. And the third thing I would say is have a friend at work. A lot of people say, "I don't go to work to have friends." Oh my gosh,
Yeah,
it makes a world of difference.
it does.
And that friend could be your mentor, but you have to have someone that you can laugh with, you can cry with, someone who's going to check in on you. It makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
So if again, I would say get a mentor, don't spend your own money, and have a friend.
And I look, I wish I knew you back then, okay? Because I spent a lot of money, all right,
See.
getting my classroom together. And like you said, yeah,
It
it was cute. But like you said, I could have been a little more. And then I ended up somebody, because I'm at the high school. And
was
so I never, you know how you guys at elementary level, you guys have those lists that you give to the parents. And then
cute.
I'll put these post-it notes on your boards during parent night and say, grab one of those things. That's the stuff I want for the classroom. We don't do that in high school, okay? And so one year, someone had said, "Well, let's try it." And girl, can you? I could not believe them parents was taking those post-it notes off the board and was purchasing our
Right.
stuff. Oh,
Right.
and
See, I think the thing, and this is just my opinion,
yeah.
I think that we become more hands-off in middle school and high school, and they are big kids.
Yes.
They are just in bigger bodies.
Yes.
And I think that the parents want to help, they want to engage, they don't know how to at that level. Yeah, we get all the feels. We get all the feels
Yes.
in elementary school. And you know, the parents are looking for ways to send in supplies and send in
Yes.
snacks and things of that nature. And I think that if we kept our hands on our students and the pulse of our parents, then they would be more engaged. They would feel more welcome.
Yes. And you're right about that. Once I saw that they wanted to be a part, I started inviting them into my, even at the high school level, I invited them in my
Absolutely.
classroom. I did
Absolutely.
a day of code or something. It was computer science week. And I said, "Parents, why don't y'all come in and we code together? You code with your student." And I was like, "Are they gonna come?" Girl, they showed up, matched up with their kid, their child, and they were coding together. It was out. It was so amazing to see parents with the big kids, like you said. They want to be there,
They
right?
want to be
They
there.
want to be invited. So that was good. That's good.
Yep.
Well,
Thank you.
I really enjoyed you. I learned some new stuff about you today, and you gave me something I can go back and take to my classroom, right? Or to my
Oh,
school at least. So
awesome. Thank
I
you
will,
for having me.
yes. I'll have you back because we might have to go, we might do a little episode on the book or something. You never
Okay.
figure out how we can do that.
Okay.
I really enjoyed our conversation. Today's episode was about why I chose education with Miss Allison here. And so I'm going to post some questions in the show notes. I'm going to post her book in the show notes as well. So this podcast is brought to you by Thrive 12, an educational resource company dedicated to educators around the world. Please check us out on www.thrive12.com for additional information. We will be back and keep thriving, people. Keep thriving.
We need another date on the books, too.
We will get that made.